his point was that it's Kineged Chachma, which is the Kayasol's main Nekuda. We spoke about that last time. Now, Daf Yudalad, let's take a look about a third way down. There's another Inyan that is the Inyan of the Namer. V'zeh Daniel Machas HaShlish HaZeh Shudoyim L'Namer Ki Zoyis HaChaya Hi Az B'Yoyseh K'moshe Omer Hava Az K'nemer. So the tchuna, one, we spoke about being zelo masay with chachma. That's one thing. There's another knech in that you have the midah of azus as a midah that comes from chachma. V'zoisa midah yishayeches al asher muchen al chachma k'mo yishomer chazal v'lo yabayishin lomeid. L'kach midas yisrael hi azus. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. What is the midah of Azus that it's a Zelumaseh with the midah? Why is it something that comes out of Chachma? It's Nevea from Chachma. So the word Az, the word Oiz, is usually translated as strength. And the word Az is really daring. Now, we usually understand daring in the terms of sort of a guy who's very strong, a reckless. We don't have a very good sense of where is that midah of Azus coming from. What is the midah that Azus is an expression of? So let's explain a little bit. Let's understand it. In the midah of a person, something that's material is always confined to its own limits. This is what it is. This is how it works. This is all it does. The sense of trying to go beyond something, the question, what's beyond that which I see? Let's take an example. It's hard to put yourself in the eyes of an animal, in the body of an animal, but an animal sees certain things, and it reacts to them in a certain way. It's hard to believe that an animal would sit and philosophize and say, "Is everything I see the only thing that's there, or are there things that I don't see and still exist?" There's no such thing. Whatever is. A computer will deal with whatever it's programmed to deal, not one thing more. And yes, there are programs that make progress, but that's pre-programmed. But the ability to step forward, it says, Chacham einav b'roishoy, uksil b'choyshech haylech. Chacham einav b'roishoy, uksil b'choyshech. It means a chacham is someone that perceives a metzias where there is none yet. Just like if I have headlights, I can see that which is not immediate. When a car bangs into something, the car knows something is there. That's chayma to chayma. When a car has a headlight, it sees something that is past the car, beyond the car. Eizu chochma reyes anoylat. It means that the chochma is something that allows you to project things even if they're not there now. So chachma in its absolute sense allows you to go beyond the things that are. I take a look and I see this field is growing, this field grows 100 bushels. Okay, what happens if? Let me try. Why does it grow only 100? All of these things are hallmarks of chachma. The Klal Yisrael Mitzad Kedusha has in itself chachma, which says to itself, behind the world that you see of bread and meat and bricks and stones, there's a lot more to it. That's the Bchinas Azus. Yovan, in its chachma, started also by destroying Avodah Zarah. The primitive Goyim were full of gods that were running their lives. And everything was the god of wind will be angry at you, and the god of rain will be angry at you. And the Chochmah of Yavin was, think about it. It's Lav Davka, that's right. And go past that. Socrates got into trouble because he was ruling the youth with all sorts of kfira. So the Azus is to dare say to yourself that maybe the wind is not a god, and you don't have to appease him, and you can still live well without that god. The problem was, it stopped with their own seichel. It never went past that point. But the Midah of Azus is a daring means a person can go a step beyond what's around him. I see a very mighty army with big guns all surrounding me. If I sneak around from the back and hit them from the back, they never know what hit them. Those are all things, that's the b'china of Azus. So Klal Yisrael had a Midah of Azus. So Avraham Avinu versus Socrates. Both of them destroyed Avodah Zarah. That was a Midah of Azus. I want to digress a minute and sort of get a take on something in history that we see. People are very fond of making lists of how many Jews won Nobel Prize and so on and so forth, and they attribute it to smartness and so on. I have a book at home, it's actually in Hebrew, about Jewish revolutionaries. Jews that were at the forefront of communism, socialism, and many, many, many movements, Jews were in front of it. The Goyisha world in America, the anti-Semitic ones, accused Jews, and unfortunately was not wrong, that the Jewish movie producers in Hollywood were the ones that broke social norms that no one had dared break before. They pushed the boundaries and gedarim, they trampled them and broke them down and went way past until there's no place to go anymore. But unfortunately, it was right, and that's what it says about Klal Yisrael. It says Tanya Mishmei Reb Meir Neiman Nitato Yisrael Mipnei Shein Azin Tanya Reb Shmuel Mimina Ishtas Lomay Omar Kadosh Baruch Hu Ruuyin Halolu Shetinosin Lem Das Eish Ikir Amri Dasem Shalela Eish Shel Molid Nitna Terli Yisrael Ein Kol Uma V'Loshin Yicholun Lamed Bifneihem V'Hayna Mishlokish Gimel Azin Yisrael Shebumis and so on. In other words, the Midah of Klal Yisrael is a Midah of Azus. And it's something which is a Midah that, when it's used for bad, it really means you're unchecked, you're unfettered, you have no inhibitions, nothing is holding you back, which is a terrible Midah. And that's why it's called Eish Das Lomai, because of the material things that we know, everything else fits the rules of space, kind of. A stone can't exist together with another stone in one place. If a stone bangs against a stone, it doesn't go further. And all the things in the Bria, they're physical, they occupy a certain amount of space, and that's it. Fire burns, yes, there's a big pile of wood over here, put the fire to it, and the fire takes over. The fire cuts through, and there are no boundaries for fire. Fire can't be really bounded in. So Klal Yisrael is Azen Sheb Umas, and they needed a Das of Eish. The daring aspect of it, the fact that it goes beyond Gedorim of Seichel, so on, is Klal Yisrael. Pirush, B'shvil sheish lehem ha-toyre, u'b'shvil zeh dasem she'elhu Eish, ash Eish sheish lo ha-toykev u'az. So there is an element of tekifas to it, but it also means that it's an element of daring. V'chein Yisroelim az shibumas. V'ada k'achoymehu mispoel. U'lekach b'nei odom shem ba'alei choyme einam azim v'koshim. Avisot shetam atoyim azim v'koshim gamri v'dozi v'an kamer koymes. When a person identifies his self with choymer, l'moshel, who am I? So I have a house, I have a car, I have a place, I have a position. So I'm affected when something threatens to take it away. I'm affected by it. He's taking this away from me. He's taking that away from me. Those are, chaymer is something, Mal says it numerous times, a numerous amount of times, that a chaymer is mispoil. It's something which is affected by something else. When somebody's metzias is not chaymer, people who die for a cause is not chaymer. And that's why somebody who's willing to die for a cause is very hard to defeat. Someone who is killing for gains, so there's a cheshm there. He has what to lose. If he's running the risk of losing his life or his money, he thinks long and hard. For instance, somebody who's a soldier for pay, that's the only reason he's doing it. So he'll make a cheshm if it's worth it or not worth it. And he'll be realistic about it. Someone who likes the recklessness, Shabbai, somebody who likes the kind of wildness, the recklessness, the quote unquote heroism, is not easy to stop. And someone who does it for a cause is certainly not easy to stop. So chayme sandwich mispoil. Ulkach bnei adam shembali chayme inam azim vekoshim. So people that are settled people, the bali chayme, what you would call a bala bayit, is not daring and he's not going anywhere. But Klal Yisrael are very daring. When it says, the Tana says in Yudah Ben Tamer, Hava Az Kenemer, it means it's not the meat of Gibor Kari, but it's Az Kenemer. It's something where a person needs to be able to go past what his normal gvulas are. So we have now, he says, Yavon is Le'umas Yisrael in the world of Chachma. It expresses itself in the Etzim Chachma, that they have a Chachma, we have a Chachma. In Tchunas HaNefesh, it expresses itself in the Mid of Azus, which Chachma has over Chaymer. Chaymer has limitations by being Chaymer, and therefore Chaymer doesn't go past where it is, whereas Itzura, things that are not Chaymer, by their nature, they're not bounded to the things that are. Ulefikach, ha'uma azayis bikshu she'yichtivu lema chachmas ator yivonis, going to first Megillah. It's the only Ummah the other Ummahs, they wanted to get rid of us, they wanted to destroy our observance, like the Romans, But Yavon was the only one who wanted us to write it in Yavonis. Af kivarin luzuv az chalik v'torik mashemarnu, mikol mokoyim, bik shulich lam atoyer b'loshen shalahem, v'ze meire shachoch mashayach lam b'yoyis and shah umayis. In the very fact that it was translated, they asked for it, meant they have a zikit, they have a shaychus to it. V'lekach tosh chazal yaftal kim liyofes v'yishkin ba'ol Hashem, So the halacha is, even if you hold you can't write another Lashonis, Yavonis is different because Torah can be given in Yavonis. It has a Shem Yofi, and Yafisa Shayofis can be all Hashem. Kleima, Mina Yofi Shal Bnei Yafis. Vezeo Lashon Yavonis Shra Yofi Yoisa. Ya Torah Ba Oli Shem. I want to talk a little bit about this point here. He says that the reason why you're allowed to translate Torah into Yavonis is because Yavonim have more chachma than other umas. What's the pshat? What's the tzushtel? I mean, mainly you could tell me if let's say you would say that Yavonim are allowed to learn Torah. So you could say because they have chachma, they can learn Torah. What does it mean you can translate it to the language? So you have to understand something. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechalik umos, and he gave them tchunos and certain national traits, one of the things, a language is not a mikra in any sense of the word. In other words, as far as we're concerned, all languages are the same, except that depending on how they gurgled a certain word, that's how it developed. It doesn't seem, the truth is not like that at all. A language, because it's the bridge between the seichel and the ability to give over seichel to somebody else, the flavor of the language itself has a certain suitability to what it's coming from. Chazal say that there are four languages. I think it says that the language of the Romans is good for milchama and languages. There are languages that you hear in them a harshness, a command, a stiffness. A language carries in itself many, many, many of the traits of the content. Moshel, I guess we can use today. There are different languages to program software for computers, and the languages were developed for certain purposes. And that's why it carries, depending on the purpose that was developed for, it will be very easy to use for one purpose and very difficult to use for another purpose. The language that the Lashonis, Umazon are called Lashonis, because Lashonis are, they're a very important transition from raw understanding to reality. And the Tchunis HaNefesh of a person has in itself carries out the language. A person who's very refined and has a sense of yofi, his language will carry that trait to it. A person who's rough, not given to much, not given to much feeling, the language will be kind of very, very thing-oriented. Umas Olam are called the Shoynes because the Lashon that they have is as significant as their Teuchen is. It's a hallmark of what their Teuchen is. If Yevanis was given as a language that we're allowed to translate Torah into, means that Torah could be translated into Yevanis more than other languages. In other languages, you lose way too much of it that it should still have the Shem Torah. It's a beer of Torah. Hoyel Moshe Be'er Torah Zois, it's a certain way I can explain you some important ideas and stories in English, but I can't give you over the Teuchen with any fidelity. Yevanis, because Yavan sits close to Klal Yisrael in terms of Chachma, so Yevanis is a language that allows for it. Chazal say that I think Yevanis is for Shira, if I'm not mistaken. So that means that the language can be used in a way, and that's why Chazal, I mean, Mishnah and Gemara do have a lot of their words were Yevanis words that they use, that they make use of, because they were able to be absorbed in it. They had in itself it has of that quality. So the Lashon of Yevanis is usable for Torah because the Mahus of Yavan is Chachma. So a language of Chachma could be the Eved be used for Torah and not, but not other languages which are too pressed for it. And he says Lashon Yevani is the Yofa b'Yoisa, v'Kolze Shachachis Aron. V'Kir v'Ze Atzma Yegorim Shirotzel Lav Me'at Torah Ken Giba Miskanel B'Giba Shekem Moise L'Fikach Rotzel Lavet Me'at Torah. So the fact that they, he says here, it's a Gemara that says a person is only miskane from somebody like him. For instance, if I pride myself that I'm a very great athlete, and someone points out something to me that this person is a great genius, I have no problem with it. I have no kin with it. It's not my world. It's not his world. And the other umos laughed at Klal Yisrael's scholarliness. So fine, you want to sit over an old Gemara, you guys are smart guys? Okay, you guys are smart guys, and that's great. But we're tough and strong and much glory on our swords. So there's no steer at it, and that's why they never cared much about the Torah per se. Rome only cared about the colonies being docile and acting in good faith towards Rome. It didn't bother them. Bavel just needed his Avodah Zarah. There was no... Nebuchadnezzar wasn't Yerid to square off against Torah. Yavan was something which squared off against Torah. It's very, very interesting. You know, when we learn history, when we study history, so the emancipation was a very positive event, and it was. And Napoleon was seen as enlightened. When Napoleon fought against Russia, so Lesman the Palik, that Russians were crude, cruel, benighted. And Napoleon was relatively enlightened, had ideals that were reasonably enlightened in his days and so on. But many Gedolei Yisrael, Balatanya notably, favored the Russian and was responsible that the Russian army should win. Despite the fact they had no illusions about what it's like to live under Russians. They lived under Russians, they knew exactly what it was like. But they felt that Russia in itself and what it represents was an outside threat to Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a match head on. I mean, the Russians were tough, strong, cruel, mean, and it was suffering. But nobody was enamored with it. It didn't represent an alternative to Yiddishkeit. It represented an external threat. Napoleon bringing in the sweeping changes, and it did, in fact. So now we had an alternative that could draw us away. It appeared to be similar. It appeared to be chachma. It appeared to be enlightened. It appeared to be good, and that's why. So Ein Gib Miskana Elabig Gibuk Shemoise means it's only when you're on the same axis that you clash. If somebody is going 80 miles this way and the other car is going 90 miles this way, but he's on the top, he's on the elevated track and he's on the bottom track, it's not a problem at all. Only Yavin, because they're on the same track as Klal Yisrael, on the same axis as Klal Yisrael, was there. Only they want to be Ma'abatar. Figure out Salavi Ma'abatar. Okay, we'll hold it here. Can you hand me a copy of that?